Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Victory Monday. That's right. The Packers sitting at 2-1 after the demolition of the Tennessee Titans in a building where they had never previously won. The Packers came into town down there in Nashville and took care of business behind a second start from Malik Willis. Absolute baller performance from a kid who's been in the room, a month? Came out there, slinging it around the yard, using his legs, taking care of the football, most importantly. You cannot begin to describe how impressive the job Malik Willis has done. Clearly, the men around him have certainly helped, but that is a very tough situation that he has been thrown into these last 2 weeks, and he has risen to the occasion. And I would say probably silenced a few doubters along the way. But for myself, yesterday was all about the defense and the arrival of an attitude on defense. Something that we Packers Daily chatters here, you guys know, I've talked about this for a very long time when it comes to dictating. I've been asked a few times, what do you mean when you talk about like a defense dictating to an offense, not waiting for something to happen, not reacting to something, but trying to dictate and put yourself on the front foot and make sure that the offense is having to react to you? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we saw that in the second half of yesterday's game. Jeff Hafley was not going to let Will Levis breathe. Once they got a sizable lead, the game really started to turn, obviously, after the pick six from Jair, really allowed Hafley to start not just, quote, you know, sending a gauge eight, he's not blitzing every down, but he certainly kept the young quarterback guessing. And it doesn't just happen. You don't just, quote, send pressure and it just magically gets home. There were a number of instances where you saw Levis looking downfield and you just didn't have anywhere to go with the ball. That coverage leads to pressure and or sacks, led to basically a feeding frenzy as the game went on. They just had no answers. And it was just nice, so nice, after the last 3 years to see a defensive coordinator kind of embrace his inner Hans Gruber. You remember in Die Hard when, you know, the police come with the RV and they hit it with a missile and it's blown up and it's sitting there on fire. And then you hear Hans say, "Hit it again." And Bruce Willis gets all upset. It's like, "You made your point. Now pull back. Let them pull back." And he says, "I'll take it under advisement, cowboy. Hit it again." Well, that was Hafley yesterday. You know, Will Levis was sitting there in an RV. It was on fire. And Hafley was up there in the booth going, "Hit it again." And they did, repeatedly. And it was fucking awesome. I just had so much fun watching that game yesterday, and I had so much fun rewatching it today. And now, of course, all eyes will turn to a showdown within the division at Lambeau against the plastic franchise of the Minnesota Vikings, who they and their fans are all excited about their three-game win streak to start the season. We all know what's going to transpire here. They're going to flame out in spectacular fashion as the year goes on. As they get closer to December, things will unravel. They always do for the Vikings. This is what they do, you know? So hopefully we start planting that seed of doubt on Sunday with Jordan Love back in the fold. And I do suspect Jordan probably is back in the starting lineup on Sunday, though I don't think that's a given. But that's the suspicion here, right? And I think most people probably expect that to happen. But you never know what's going to transpire over the course of the week, what happens in practice, etc. We will see. Matt LaFleur already playing the game, saying he will probably be limited. Can't wait for will he or won't he throughout the entirety of this week leading up to Sunday's contest. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Got a bunch of super chats already. What's up, Noah? Snap counts were things of beauty, especially for the defensive line and receivers / tight ends. Good stuff from Hafley and staff. It is kind of interesting this season where, and you know, Matt mentioned this or talked about it, I think 2 weeks ago, regarding their non-reticence, I guess you'd say. They have no qualms about playing lots of different guys in lots of different roles and guys competing in certain positions. I think we probably would have seen even more of that if Carrington Valentine had been up and not injured. But yeah, it's fascinating to watch how they've really rotated at a lot of different spots. But to your point, I think they've found a really good groove up front. And the way they've been able to kind of, and this is something Paul Bredel talked about, I remember earlier this summer, a bit of like hockey line shifts, right? We're going to come at you with a bunch of different bodies throughout the game and keep that pass rush fresh through four quarters. I think that's exactly what you saw yesterday. Adam, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. What do you think this Packers defense can do to really challenge this Vikings offense? It's an excellent question, Adam. I mean, I think obviously you're going to lean on the stuff that wins football games each and every week, right? Affect the quarterback. Now, I don't doubt for a moment that the Vikings will have a significant plan to get the ball out of Darnold's hands as early and often as possible. I think Aaron Jones is going to feature big time in this game. But that's a question I'll answer later in the week. I haven't really dove into the Vikings games yet. It makes me act up watching Vikings football. But they've won three games, and their offense is humming, and they're doing good things on defense. Definitely, you know, playing a winning brand of football. So I'm anxious to dive in and take a look. But I suspect Halfley and company will have a plan, especially to try and limit Aaron Jones as much as possible. Soder, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. They can run the ball and play defense. My world has been turned upside down. So confused. The Green Bay Packers, you say? I know, it's a sight to behold, right? Last son of Krypton, thanks for being a Care of the G-Club member. Six-man pressure? What is this mysterious, glorious thing? Is this real? Will it continue? All this and more on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. I mean, that is a question, right? Like, how much of this was because of it's Will Levis? He's still a young, struggling quarterback. We smell blood in the water, release the hounds of hell on him, right? I think there's that aspect to it. But I also think, you know, it's not like Darnold is some problem with his legs. I mean, he can feel pressure. He can move, no doubt about it. But once again, this is a very different approach than it was against Jalen Hurts or Anthony Richardson, a different type of quarterback. And I suspect Halfley will treat it as such. Bill, thanks for the super chat. Well, looks like we're searching for a DC again this offseason. Just please stay out of Chicago, Halfley. I have no comment. No comment there. Jeezy baby, what's up, man? I wish I could buy some tickets using a local company while drinking a delicious cream ale. Help, please. Well, in the description of this video, you'll find a link to a company called Ticket King for all your Packer ticket needs. And while you're doing so, go down and click there, and maybe you need a song to accompany you while you're selecting your seats at Lambeau this Sunday while they take on the Vikings. You should be enjoying a delicious, creamy, gorgeous cream ale.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be, so creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
You guys know I don't need an excuse. I'll play that 10 times. I don't care. Joe, what's up? Packers with 90 carries for 450 yards rushing in two games without Love. Do they keep pounding the rock when Love comes back? I was just on the radio talking about this. I think they should. I don't know if they do, but I'm hopeful. I think we've seen a real kind of, I don't want to say resurgence, but we've certainly seen what this offense can do to get defenders guessing through these first through 3 weeks, but also towards the tail end of last year when they were so effective with Aaron Jones. Defense is really not having a key on the whether it's a run or a pass, the play action off of some of that zone stretch stuff. You remember last year they came out of the gate just sluggish as hell, and they were unable to run the football for like a month and a half. Well, they've certainly shown they can run the football. And that's with the whole stadium knowing they're trying to run the football. I mean, you put Jordan Love into this equation, and the mind boggles at how much you can really start messing with defensive coordinators. Now, you have to continue to be productive. I think they will. I doubt it becomes, you know, old school Mike Shanahan. We're going to spam the zone read until, or the zone run and outside zone until we boot off of that 100 times. But I do think there are some real possibilities to exploit defenses by staying ahead of the sticks, ripping off these kind of big chunk runs, and then sequencing your play calls off of that to get people to overcommit, taking false steps, and then hopefully finding guys downfield in the passing game because the safety bit up too hard or the linebackers overflowed. And there you are on some backside boot, and there's a trailer or a deep crosser coming over the middle. You can hit him, away he goes. And we've already seen some of that with Malik, but I think they could go to town with Jordan on that. Ed, what's up, man? After the Titans' first drive, I had a doubt, but man, what a game. Loved the D. It is always funny to go back and look at the comments on the watch party when it's certainly disheartening. You don't want to start a game by watching the opponent drive down the field for a touchdown. It sucks, right? But man, it's one drive. And we had people in the chat yesterday, and I'm not exaggerating, talking about like, oh, they made a mistake hiring Halfley. The college coach doesn't know anything about the league, etc. Well, he shut all that up real quick. You know, gotta let things play out a little bit. But hey, I know that's the nature of the internet. It's the internet nation. It's got the nature of being a fan, especially in the moment during a game. I mean, God knows I overreact to shit all the time. So I'm not saying I'm any better or any worse. I'm not telling you how to fan, but I would advise folks to give it a minute. Let it breathe a little bit. Dylan, what's up? I attended my first ever Packers game yesterday and was blown away at all the green and gold. I saw there's nothing in sports like this fan base. I heard there were a ton of Packers fans there. It certainly sounded like there were a ton of Packers fans there. Every time I've been there for a Packers game, it has been a ton of green and gold. It's the first time, though, you were there for the first ever victory in that stadium for the Green Bay Packers. So I think you're the lucky. You're the luck charm here. I think clearly it's down to you, Dylan. I mean, I don't make the rules here. Abdul, what's up? Hey, Aaron, do you see Love picking up where he left off last year, or do you see him being a bit rusty like he was first game? Sound like Flores D is tough. Everyone thought Flores D was tough going into New Year's Eve last year, too, and he took that apart. I think he'll look remarkably better than he did in Brazil. I think being at home at Lambeau will certainly help, being able to utilize the hard count and change and operate at the line of scrimmage in a way he probably wasn't able to as much down in Brazil. And week one's always funky. Do I expect he's going to come out and just hit the ground running and look like he looked down the stretch last year? Probably not. But I do think they'll be effective. I do think they'll move the ball and score a ton of points. I don't think this is a game where Flores is going to have the Packers under wraps. And they have been effective, no doubt about it. But I think LaFleur's got something for him. Rodrigo, thanks for the super chat. I'm traveling all the way from Mexico City to my first game at Lambeau Field. Aaron, any suggestions or tips for game day? Go Pack, go. Get there early. I don't know what game you're going to. Maybe this. If you're going to this weekend's game, yeah, you know, noon kickoffs, man. Get out there, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Get it flowing, as it were. Head out to Lot 1. There's always tons of really nice people all around the stadium, but Lot 1 in particular. Make sure you hit up Titletown on game day. It's really fun. The vibe is great. And if you're in town for any length of time, make sure you check out DePere as well as Green Bay. Nikki's Lionhead in DePere is awesome. If you're in Green Bay proper, if you're downtown, there are a ton of spots you can hit up. I did a video, top 10 or top 5 things to do in Green Bay. You can search it here on the channel. Just have a good time. Soak it up. You can't go wrong just being around Lambeau Field, especially on game day. The vibes are immaculate. John Sabatovich, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Flynn aside, has there been a better backup performance at QB? 2-0 with a third string previously cut QB. Bears fans crying. I love it. Go Pack, go. Matt Flynn will always have that huge game against the Lions in week 16 back then. But yeah, it's hard to find a stretch where, because even Flynn played multiple games in a row, right? But man, it's hard to find a stretch, two games in a row where the backup quarterback has played as well as Malik Willis has these last 2 weeks. I mean, you don't have to look any further. This Wes Hodkowitz put this out there. Was it last night or the morning? And this tells you where, just how pretty amazing Malik's performances have been. Make sure I don't want to miss it. What he got? Because he tweeted it out. I think it was. There it is. So Malik Willis, is the fifth quarterback in Packers history. Packers history. That's over 100 years. He is the fifth quarterback ever in Packers history to have a 120-plus passer rating in consecutive starts. Started these last two games, has a passer rating over 120 in both games. The only other quarterbacks to do it, the four other gentlemen to have done so, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Jordan Love, and Lynn Dickey. Lynn Dickey. Baller. But Malik Willis is in that conversation now. That's insanity. I'm sorry. That is absolutely nuts. And the fact that he's been in the building for about a month makes it even more insane. He didn't have the benefit of off-season work. He didn't have the benefit of going through training camp or preseason games in this offense. He's been in the building a month, and he's balling out. It's so impressive. Mimsy, what's up? My kingdom for the return of written gut reacts. Just doesn't work. Just doesn't work flow-wise game day anymore. Sorry, brother. I have a number of people who really do enjoy them, and I do kind of miss doing them, but I've got so much other stuff on my plate at this point. And the other problem is I can do my gut reactions video, and it will do three times the traffic and engagement, etc. I know. I feel you. Maybe in the future, I'll bring it back, but at the moment, it's just a little impossible. I'm sorry, brother. G. David, thanks for the super chat. I would love to see a very similar game plan with Love. They put Willis in position to succeed, and he delivered. Love will benefit from all the same and adds extra lethality with his arm. I think he could. I think what's going to be fascinating to watch is if they do try to take a similar approach. I don't think it'll be the exact same, but a similar approach with Jordan Love. Can Jordan be as careful with the football as Malik has been through these first two games? You know, it's so impressive that he has not put the ball in jeopardy. I can think of maybe one throw that maybe had a chance at being intercepted. But for the most part, he has done great work not putting the ball in jeopardy. Just really smart decision-making at every turn. When to tuck and run, pick up a few yards, live to fight another down. He has done it over and over and over again through these last two games. And look, Jordan is a bit of a gunslinger. He got a little bit more Favre in him than Aaron Rodgers. That is for certain. Can Jordan be smart with the football in a way? Now, look, I'm all about that life where he's slinging it and making these amazing throws and we're scoring touchdowns and we're putting up points. But we've also seen Jordan put the ball in jeopardy a few times, probably a little more than we'd like. Can he be disciplined with this approach, knowing that the run game's working, defense is balling out, you don't have to outscore everybody? I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. William, thanks for the super chat. This team feels like it's got an edge to it. Credit to Matt and Brian. Felt good being able to maintain a lead versus a less than stellar QB or offense. Yeah, William, I mean, I mentioned that in gut reactions yesterday. It's just such a beautiful thing to see a defense close the door for a change rather than allow an opponent back in the game. It has not been the norm in Green Bay. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat. It's Vikings week, which means we are going to get a banky Paul Allen rant on transplants. Probably. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Banky isn't as quick to rise to the bait as he used to be, but I can concoct something. Speaking of transplants, a little programming note. Packer Transplants Live will be on Tuesday this week. So tomorrow afternoon, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Lambeau time. Set your watches. Set your DVRs such as they are. Make sure you hit subscribe on this channel is what I mean. And come hear the ramblings of two madmen, myself and Corey Banky. Packer Transplants Live tomorrow right here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Mike, thanks again. I want a number 25 kickoff return Sunday, Nags. Go, Pack, go. Hold on a second. Okay. Yep, there he is. All right. Hold on a second. Yeah. Hi, Rich. Yeah, Mike Witt wants Keyshawn to take it to the house on Sunday. Yeah. Right. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Mike. Taken care of. Porkmaster, thanks for the super chat. Making bad QBs look bad. No matter what, it's better. what he said, 100%. Jeezy Baby, what's going on, man? Is the new kickoff rule a failure? Just as many touchbacks. I don't know. Depends on what their aim was with it. I think they were trying to provide more opportunities for returns, and that certainly hasn't materialized. But I also think there's a safety component to it, which maybe this has been safer through three games. I don't know. A failure? That might be a bit strong. Is it a disappointment? Certainly. I don't think there's any question there. Chad, what's up, man? What is your assessment of Josh Meyer so far this season? I think he's coming off one of his best games as a pro against Tennessee. I'll tell you that. I don't think he's been all pro, but I think he's played really well. And I think he's finally, these last 2 weeks, been pretty damn consistent down in and down out, which has been his bugaboo. It's been the biggest problem in his NFL career as far as showing you pretty decent stretches at a high level of play and then having a handful of plays where he just gets overwhelmed or overmatched or has a brain fart and things fall apart on him or the offense. But I think these last 2 weeks in particular, he has really played well. I actually talked about this with Andy Herman on our latest Let's Talk Football. Make sure you check that out here on the channel. That just went live a little bit before went on the radio and then came in here to chat with you fine folks. But yeah, that's really good work, I think, from Myers these last couple weeks. And look, don't undersell what he means up front as far as the protections, setting things, calling, making the designations, identifying the mic, working all with all the stuff that usually he and Jordan are working on together. You know, he's doing all of that for Malik. And I think people should maybe start giving Josh a little grace because he has played pretty damn well. JP, thanks for the super chat. As someone who grew up in a border town near Minnesota, my dislike for the Vikings and their fans has always ran deeper than the Bears rivalry. That's understandable. I think, you know, the Bears-Packers is the oldest rivalry, obviously. I think Packers-Vikings is the most toxic rivalry. And I don't think there's any question when it comes to which one I viscerally hate more. Oh, it's easily the Vikings. I mean, that's not even a question. I know that's not even close. I mean, there's a begrudging respect for the Bears because of the history, the rivalry, the ebbs and the flows, and the fact that Bears fans are, you know, sticking with their team. They are diehard with their team, come hell or high water, through a long-ass stretch where they have been terrible now. I mean, they're kind of going through our 80s, you know, 70s and 80s for the Packers fans are essentially what the Bears are going through right now. So I respect that. You know, I get that. Like, yeah, their team still sucks because you're the Bears, but, you know, there's a begrudging respect there. But the Vikings, it's just plastic nonsense, man. Nothing about that team is authentic in any way, shape, or form. Uncultured, what's up, man? The fact that Banky hates Narv Dog so much, I want it to become a reality. Yeah, well, I understand where Corey's coming from, though. Like, you got to earn a nickname, man. And all Narv Dog has done is miss a kick a game. So, obviously, it didn't cost him this past game. But I don't mind Narv Dog. I don't mind Narvinator. In fact, now I probably can't call him anything other than that. So, there we go. Mimsy, what's up, man? LVN came off the milk carton finally. He had been MIA. I very much disagree. I don't think he's been MIA. I think he's been exerting pressure. I don't think there have been sacks, but I think there has been work being done. And I do think, look, it's about pressure. I don't care about sacks. Sacks will come. Sacks as a number, they come in bunches often, but what matters way more is pressure, affecting the quarterback, affecting the pocket. And I think he's done some of that. I think you see more of it, hopefully. But it's funny that you talk about him coming off a milk carton to collect a sack that literally was caused by Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary's pressure makes that play. It all works together, man. Abdul, what's up? Were there any injuries yesterday? Well, we saw Tucker Kraft hurt his shoulder and leave for a bit, and then he came back. Matt was asked about it at the press conference today. Sounds like he'll be in the red non-contact jersey yet again this week in practice. Sure feels like this is something he's going to have to just try to live with and maybe limit as much as he can during the week. But yeah, that was the one that Matt was asked about and he talked about. Any new stuff we'll probably see on Wednesday when we get our first injury report. Jake, what's up, man? Is Kenny Clark okay not showing up on the stat sheet? Does he on film? I talked about this with Andy on Let's Talk Football. And through 3 weeks, it's been, I don't know, it's been quiet from Kenny and not in the usual, oh, Kenny kind of disappears for a stretch sometimes and then he comes back and he has a really good kind of November, December. But no, he has not seemingly maybe taken to the defense, what's being asked of him as far as splitting double teams, shooting gaps, what have you. Just haven't seen a whole lot of it. You've seen him washed out a little bit more than we're used to seeing from Kenny. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But I will say this, and this is something Andy pointed out, and he's absolutely right. If there is a player in the league for Kenny to get right playing against, it's the center for the Minnesota Vikings. He has owned him his entire career. So I look forward to Kenny having a get-right game at Lambeau on Sunday. Porkmaster, thanks for the super chat, man. Remember the failure of screen game last year? Felt like it was week one, Aaron Jones, huge screen, then an ocean of awful. Screen game is back? I don't know if it's back, but they certainly hit a big one on Sunday against the Titans. I do think they seem a bit more disciplined, and they seem to be doing a great job of getting out in space with the big guys, and the patience from the backs involved seems to be on point. Maybe they've practiced a little bit more because they have a backup quarterback, so they have to lean on that game, that part of the game a little bit more. But I don't know. I'm not ready to say the screen game is back yet. But damn, it looked good on Sunday. Dylan, what's up, man? All Emmanuel Wilson does is score TDs with all the grace of an Olympic ice skater. That dude is smooth. He is smooth as hell, isn't he? Man, he's fun to watch, and it's been great to see him really start to get involved on offense. And you have to think a big part of this has to be their trust in him in the passing game, specifically as a pass protector. I mean, they're not putting him out there for what he get 12 carries yesterday. You know, we saw a bunch of plays where he got the ball a number of times in a row, but you have to suspect, yeah, there's a chance that there will be a can play at some point where maybe they change a run to a pass, and they clearly don't feel too worried that he's not going to have A, his assignments down, or B, be able to step up and take on a blitzing linebacker or safety or what have you. It would suggest to me that they seem to maybe turn a corner there, because that has been like the one thing Matt has always talked about. It's been the one thing area of his game he's really needed to improve and develop in. Seemingly has occurred. So you love to see him with the ball in his hand, though, man. He is fun to watch, and he is a player that, you know, bust his ass, done it now year after year in the summer, finally getting some opportunities in the regular season. Absolutely love to see it. Make sure I didn't miss any. I don't want to leave anybody hanging. Jim says, I saw he made a good block yesterday. Yeah, he had a couple of them. Yeah, there were a couple of instances where he had to step in and get his nose bloody, so to speak, and he did the work. Abdul, thanks again, man. I know we're preaching patience, but what are your thoughts on the kicker? Does he turn it around? Is he here week 17? Doesn't seem too different from Carlson. I think he turns it around. I think he gets better as the season goes, and I think, yes, he will be here week 17. It's a long season. I don't think they're going to rip the Band-Aid off anytime soon. You heard Brian talk about needing to have patience with his specialists. I think they will give him the season. That's my guess. Well, we'll see. Now, maybe if he misses some huge kick, you know, costing him a game at the end of a contest, say in mid late October, they stay the course. We shall see. Someone's freaking out. Zhao, you don't care about what? I don't care about sacks. I don't care about sacks. Sacks are fine, but you know what you do on the next play for the quarterback? Throw it a little further and pick up another first down. Sacks are fine. Sacks certainly help. But, man, pressure is way more important. Affecting the quarterback, affecting the ability to throw the football. You know why the Packers are able to, like, take down all these interceptions this year? You know how they had, like, 7 all of last year and they have 6 this year leading the NFL? You know how that happens? Pressure. You know when you don't throw interceptions? When you're on the ground because you got sacked. I don't care about sacks. I care about pressures. That is what I care about, because the ball is life. And if you can take the ball away, you get in the plus side of that column, you're going to win more often than not. That is just me. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Like I said earlier, don't forget Packer Transplants live back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Lambeau time. Be there. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you hit like, hit subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.